You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government has just announced additional measures to prevent and reduce homelessness, aiming to ensure at-risk individuals in whānau have access to stable housing and continue to stay housed. To find out more about what this investment looks like and why it's important, I spoke to Housing First Program Manager Fiona Hamilton and began by asking, what exactly does this investment include?
They've announced $54 million for initiatives that will support people who are at risk of losing tenancies. So it's a prevention program. It's around a program called Sustaining Tenancies, which was trialled largely with people who are in Housing New Zealand tenancies and who are at risk of losing them. But the significant thing about this funding is that it also extends that to people who are in private rentals who are at risk of losing tenancies. And the program essentially is around providing intensive wraparound support for people to maintain tenancy and to be able to stay in their property.
Within this investment, a bunch of new roles were created, including intensive case managers and navigators. If you want to explain to the listeners what these roles are and how they help the kind of clientele which your organisation tends to deal with?
What I understand from what the government's put out is that the intensive case manager will be an MSD staff member, but they will take a kind of big picture view of people's needs. So not just focusing on things like housing maintenance, but also about what might be going on for that family. And then it appears through what's come out that the navigators will be on hand. They won't be MSD staff, they'll be community organisations, and they will be available to provide more ongoing support for people who might have more complex needs. And that might be ongoing mental health issues that have a level of complexity that an MSD case manager might not be best placed for that.
Do you see these roles helping you do the work which you do? Do you see them aligning quite well, or do you see yourself interacting? Can you talk a bit about that, please?
Anyone who is involved with any aspect of responding to homelessness knows that you can't address the issue without looking at prevention. So without turning off the tap of people dropping into homelessness, it's really hard to make an impact in terms of reducing numbers of people experiencing chronic homelessness or people cycling in and out of an emergency accommodation. So it's all part of, you know, as they say, a systems approach. And unless we have that support coming in much earlier, we're just not going to end homelessness. We can't just look at one part of it. We can't just look at long-term rough sleepers without looking at the family who's currently in a motel experiencing high levels of stress and, you know, issues going on in their lives, who could, without the right support, end up having family members rough sleeping or in cars. So it's all interlinked. And you know, anyone, whether they're delivering a Housing First program for the long-term rough sleeper or whether they're currently, you know, they're a transitional housing provider which works with a lot of families, or whether they're, you know, wherever you are, everyone would support this initiative.
Do you think that this initiative is actually doing enough to help prevent homelessness?
This initiative is a specific response, and it has to sit alongside a range of other responses. So a big issue for all of us, and I think we, you know, everyone, just think of Auckland in particular, we know that affordable housing supply is a massive driver underneath all of this. So there can always be more done, and I think there needs to be more done on the supply side as well as the support for people, you know, experiencing issues in their lives. There also needs to be affordable housing and a big emphasis on increasing supply. So there can always be more done.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add just regarding Housing First's response to this new investment?
Just that the Housing First providers would really support this. And like I say, we see every day the complexity of people's situations. And if support can come in earlier for people, that can only be a good thing. It's just about ensuring that we have a range of responses available for people to reflect the range of situations they're in. So, you know, absolutely in support of this prevention funding.
That was host Olivia talking to a representative from Housing First. I then continued this conversation with the PSA, the Public Service Association, and their spokesperson, Glenn Barkley. I started by discussing what housing justice is and why it is important to the PSA. Why is housing justice such a core issue for you guys?
We have a significant number of members who work in that sector who see the challenges that low-income New Zealanders particularly face in the area of housing. So that is struggling with rents, struggling with low incomes. Look, I was talking with a working income member last night who was telling me of a client they are dealing with recently whose benefit was overwhelmingly swallowed up by rent in the private rental market. So yeah, those members are very strongly committed to the work that they do and want to have better tools available to help them to deliver better outcomes for those people they work with. And our members themselves are struggling in the housing market. We surveyed our members, first of all, in Auckland to contribute to the mayoral task force on housing that was set up in Auckland in 2017. That found that 50% of respondents said that they'd considered leaving Auckland to move somewhere more affordable. And across the country, both renters and mortgage payers said that the majority of their pay goes towards housing costs. So those are people on a range of incomes, middle to low incomes in many cases, and they're struggling in Auckland particularly, but in other places in the country as well, that was what we found. It's a very important issue for our membership.
It reads that the PSA feels that there's an urgent need for a bold visionary transformation around how housing is organised, planned and delivered in New Zealand. What does that mean? Or what is a bold visionary transformation to how our housing is organised, planned and delivered?
Well, look, I think that we're seeing some steps towards that. Like, I think this announcement at the weekend was really, really welcome because it offers some tools to our members in work and income particularly, but also in the community to help deliver their outcomes for people struggling with the real threat of homelessness. So the very kind of people with high needs who are struggling to maintain their tenancies and the like. So that's really a good and welcome step, but you know, I think the main issue is, and we're not alone in saying this, is supply. We need more housing at the lower end of the market and more social housing, particularly state housing. And we are really pleased to see that the government has significantly stepped up the construction of state houses, but really we need an industrial scale building of state houses there. And anything the government can do to promote more affordable housing as well in the private market is to be welcomed.
You briefly touched on it there by saying a lack of state housing, but what does the PSA see as being the kind of core issues behind how we've gotten to this point in the housing market or housing crisis, which seems to be an ongoing thing?
There's a bunch of things. I mean, I think the underlying problem is just a belief that the market will deliver and the private sector can be relied upon. My understanding is that your research, looking back over our housing record over the recent decade, shows we've seen construction of state housing fall off, and we've seen basically it up to developers who are building bigger houses that people struggle to afford. So without the kind of interventions that we used to have in the past, you know, that's contributed significantly to the housing crisis. So along with that, we saw governments saying that you know, in the 90s we saw a lot of state houses sold off without replacements being built. We've seen the increased use of the housing accommodation supplement, which really just puts money into private landlords' hands, gives them an incentive to increase rents. We've seen a variety of measures like that have contributed to the housing crisis. So we think that the measures that are beginning to be put into place at the moment are really positive. We just need to ramp it up. And I appreciate that there are real challenges in doing that because there are shortages in the construction industry. Maybe the way in which we build houses needs to be looked at. All that kind of stuff is, you know, the substantial challenges after sort of decades of neglect.
Most definitely. What are the three most important things for PSA and for the listeners to remember from the announcement this weekend?
First of all, that it's who it's targeted at. So it's targeted at the most vulnerable New Zealanders who are, you know, a threat of homelessness. There are people who are just very, very, very close to being on the street. So I think that's really welcome. The other thing is that the way that they're doing that is they're putting more resource into MSD with more intensive case management to enable skilled staff to work alongside vulnerable tenants to keep them in their homes and provide them with wraparound support. And then there's the navigators in the community that will assist with these clients, because of course their needs aren't just related to housing, they're related to mental health, they're related to a variety of other challenges that they may well be facing in their lives. So those navigators help these people access the services that they require across the board. And so I think that those are all really helpful things. If I was to say that there is a weakness in the proposal, and it just goes back to that question of supply, that we do know that our members in work and income who've been criticised in the past for some of the places in which they've been forced to accommodate people in emergencies, the quality of some of that accommodation, and that is goes back to the question of supply. We need better options out there in the community so that when they are looking around for emergency housing, that there are better options that are out there. But that obviously will take time to put into place.
Certainly. And one last question. If you could have one ideal next announcement in this area, what would that announcement entail?
Look, if there's a way of conjuring up, you know, better quality emergency housing and more of it, that would be great. But I do appreciate the challenges that stand in the way of that happening.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.